Welcome to today's show. We are delighted to have our number of guests and my partner are on the call. Rob Hoffman will kind of take us through that, but we're obviously working from home, dealing in the middle of the COVID pandemic crisis. When you guys actually hear this, it probably will still be going on, although by most reports, it looks like many parts of the country are through the worst. Courses are beginning to reopen if they did close. And a number of areas were probably not largely as affected of others. Today we wanted to really dig into what was, boots on the street, what some of the courses were actually doing to get through COVID. And as you'll hear today, we have some courses that really excelled. They, year over year growth and fantastic numbers in terms of rounds played, et cetera. A beautiful fall, spring weather probably contributed to that. So, Rob, why don't I turn it over to you and you introduce today's guests and look forward to getting started.
Very good. Thanks, Kyle. Like Kyle mentioned, we've seen a lot of courses getting ready to reopen. So in this podcast, we wanted to kind of tee it up for you guys and have some discussions about success that we are seeing happen right now. So you can maybe hit the ground running in a little bit better way. Then maybe had you not heard some of these things we're going to share with you today. So guests today, we've got Jason Paul, general manager from Westfields Golf Club in Clifton, Virginia. Jason's been fortunate enough to be open throughout this entire thing and has seen a lot of great success at their property. They're selling out weeks in advance right now and doing a lot of great things. So we want to talk about some of the success he's having. And then also Scott Merchant, who is chief growth officer at Club Profit Systems. And I know personally from working with Club Profit Systems a bunch with Gallus Golf and what we've been doing, there are a lot of great things we've been doing with a number of courses to provide COVID-friendly solutions and help them work on a very productive basis. So why don't we start with you, Jason? Maybe you can give us a little bit of an overview as to why the success, what's going on outside of the special measures everybody knows we're taking right now, single rider carts, we're cleaning everything up, we're wearing masks when we're within 6 feet of people. What are some of the things that you're in general, at least, seeing as a great success at Westfields?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Thanks for the invite. Westfields is somewhat of a unique operation. We cater to many different demographic groups and customer segments. Obviously, 6-8 weeks ago, our world was turned upside down. I've been in the industry for 27 years, as many of you have been. We've seen events like 9/11, which obviously had a great impact on our industry and on the economy. We've seen the economic downturn. We've seen our game and our industry as a whole have some issues with introducing the game to new golfers. But in 25 plus years, I have never seen anything come this quickly, have such an immediate impact on our business. And so fortunately, because of our model, meaning about a third of our rounds are outing rounds, about a third of our rounds are member rounds, and about a third of our rounds are transient rounds. We also have a hotel relationship, which allows us to operate as a resort. Obviously, the outing piece, the resort piece, the wedding piece, which I didn't mention, has completely dried up. And so about 8 weeks ago, we had to completely flip our model on its head. Being open for the last 20 years, I think we've done a nice job of data collection, which has been critical. Leveraging that data collection over the last 8 weeks to not only be able to actively and regularly communicate with our customers, but also reach out to a whole new potential new customer base. We are geographically located about 30 miles from Maryland. Maryland is one of those states that the golf courses are shut down. And so being able to utilize some of our technology, whether it be through our app technology, whether it be via email, segment certain geographic areas and direct target market or email market to those potential new customers, be able to on the fly create some new membership programs that maybe didn't lock somebody in to a full 12-month commitment or longer commitment, but maybe allow them to take it on a monthly basis, a quarterly basis, really get creative on how we are offering our food and beverage outlets and maximizing sales in that area. Because our golf shop had to be shut down doesn't mean you can't sell golf balls on your beverage cart or on the first tee or on the driving range. It really has taken a team effort to kind of go into a room and say, okay, this is what we have to deal with. How can we maximize our existing customers, potential new customers through technology, and knock on wood, it's been successful, and I hope it continues to be that way.
Good. Good. Scott, what are you seeing? I mean, you have the benefit of working with, what is it, over 1,700 golf courses right now, which puts you guys as the second largest point of sale provider in the industry. What, you know, what success are you guys seeing, and why?
Yeah, I think some of the things that Jason talked about there, Westfields, you kind of extrapolate that, you know, that those great things that he mentioned specifically, which was collecting customer data, which I'll keep harping on, and utilizing that customer data. It had always been about marketing and getting the golfer out to your golf course. Cool. But now with technology, you're actually trying to keep him or her at bay, you know, in the parking lot, checking in before their round, texting them to the tee or to the little corral staging area, letting them know about the rules that are in place and what they can expect beforehand. All of that stuff is predicated on knowing your customer, knowing their email, knowing where they're coming from, and getting them into their phone. Cue the, you know, the kind of the Gallus commercial, you know, for you, Rob. So keeping that customer at a distance is, well, there's a lot of technologies that go into that, right? Whether that's Apple Pay, you know, Google Pay. So we've seen a lot of our customers go to that tap to pay terminals. They might not have invested in that technology before, where we're shipping, you know, hundreds of those out, having those securely mounted, you know, to your, to your desk or to wherever the golfer is going to be, so they can sign in, getting rid of signatures wherever at all possible, having them not touch the pin pad. So getting rid of your debit and touching there. So getting rid of these common areas and putting them more into your phone. And then for the golf shop, certainly, you know, the online reservations, the ability to pre-check, the ability for golfers to prepay, the ability for them to tell you who else is coming with them with the buddy list. A lot of features that maybe were on the fringe are now like need to have. And then when you push that into the golf shop, okay, how am I receiving that golfer? I want to keep them at bay. I need an iPad or a mobile solution, you know, through my point of sale and T-sheet provider. My golf shop is closed. i.e. my golf shop is now on the first tier. It's on the beverage cart. You know, my snack bar is now closed. I'm doing carry out service for food and beverage. And then being able to get, I think still do this in a marketing related world, which is, yeah, I'm not going to hand you a dirty slip of receipt paper. So the marketing cue to that is, Rob, let me get your email address and it'll just email you your receipts. It'll just shoot that off to you. Same for the beverage card, having a credit card in file and being able to just run it throughout the day. So,
and the golfers are embracing that. Whereas before they didn't want to give you that data. Now they're looking to provide that data because communication, they want communication. Whereas before it was a burden.
They want communication, and now the burden is actually back on the golf shop, which is you have to collect it. You know, before I was like, oh, I don't know if I can get my staff to collect it. I don't care. Like, now you have to. Now they have to download the app because I'm not doing scorecards, so they're going to keep track there. Now you have to give me your email address because I'm not doing paper receipts. Now you have to check in because I'm not taking cash. Right. So I think overall, if you keep pushing that thing into a marketing frame, it's actually going to create huge benefit for the golf course. And it's probably weird to say, you know, benefit for golf, but like golf has taken it on the chin for the last 20 years. Our sector is actually the first to open. Our sector is actually able to operate under normal conditions for the most part. So I think if you're able to look at it in a positive light and adjust the operation, you know, quickly, there is huge benefit for app downloads or email database, target marketing, pricing, being able to, like, you know, just charge what you want. But it's, for me, it's about kind of taking the look at the operation, both from the control of the database, the control of the emails, and looking at that, but also the pricing control. And if you're like Jason, and you've got a state next to you that's closed, that stinks for Maryland. That's great for Virginia, you know? Right. And so if it's terrible, now all of a sudden, instead of pricing your product out of desperation, you need to think about pricing your product like your seventh game of the World Series. And hey, I'm only pricing more because I don't have as much capacity and I'm dealing with a lot of demand. So using your T-sheet and your diagnostics and things like, you know, dynamic revenue services and SCASI and those dynamic pricing, that's all great. But the starting point is actually way higher than what you think, you know, and for a golf course that's not used to doing that, it might come as a shock, but like, this is a good thing that my neighboring six golf courses in Maryland are closed. I'm dealing with this influx of golfers that's there's only one outcome there, which is your price has to go up. Same thing for carts and cart fleet management, et cetera. So
what we're trying to do is make sure that we're not getting these golfers for the next 30 days. We want to get them for the next 30 years. And so I completely agree with you that now is the time to drive rate and to not discount, which for the last 10 years, that's the game we've all had to play.
Yep.
We're trying to juggle a little bit of long game with short game. Yeah, I mean, absolutely, there's no discounting. Yes, we're going up a little bit, but we're trying to make sure that we're not gouging or getting the perception of gouging so that when Maryland does reopen, we want to continue to take advantage of what hopefully is new loyal customers coming to the facility on a regular basis.
And maybe it's targeted gouging, even though my next blog piece is going to be about how we need to get that word out of our vocabulary. But like, you target those increases so that if somebody is traveling 70 miles from Maryland, you might have made a decision like that. They're probably not a customer for life. They're coming to me out of desperation. Let me go and crank that rate up.
Whereas, one thing we've done with the out-of-state golfers is we're giving them a bounce back to say, hey, come back June 1 through September 1st, and anticipating that maybe the world is a little bit more back to normal, maybe that'll be enough of a draw to continue that loyalty. Expanding on what you said, Scott, about technology and how it's so valuable, I think this can be a case study for those facilities that for the last 10 or 15 years didn't value data collection. Let's face it, you can't just turn that on today. It's going to take you a little bit of time to build up that database. So those facilities that have valued it, have continued to value it, even while the tides were high, it's a pain in the you-know-what to get your staff engaged to collecting that data on a regular basis. But those facilities that have been doing it and doing it regularly are going to be able to take advantage of those databases.
Or like you said too, Jason, the golfer is more than ever willing to give you that information because they're just happy to play golf. Or, you know, they know that they need to hear from you in terms of the communication. But the just some of the basics in any technology system, just take, okay, resident rate versus non-resident rate. Okay, cool, got it. Like, people most likely have something like that set up. If you haven't captured your resident database information, you know, and I haven't marked that Jason Paul is a resident, you know, and is therefore entitled to a resident rate, it makes the whole automated process cumbersome. Whereas if I have it, he's in spot number two, the system automatically knows, okay, instead of paying 65, he's paying 55. Like, there's that buildup to go. So good job for the people that have been collecting it. But now you can just get every single person's information, golfers 2, 3, and 4, and anybody else that's coming, and classify them correctly and build that database. So you don't need, when golf does get back to normal, you don't need to discount. You've got a ecosystem there. You're not into a coupon book or Groupon or, you know, third-party discounting sites. You're able to stand on your own 2 feet with the database that you built, you know, so.
You know, I think we pick on the golf industry as having been complacent for a number of years. We rode a Tiger Woods high for, you know, 1996, 97 through really even through 9/11 into the downturn that you mentioned in 2008, 2009, Jason, which coincidentally, that was kind of Tiger's downturn for a few years too, was at that same time. Maybe his knee was economy driven, I don't know, or his back, whatever it may have been. But related to that, I don't think it's just us picking on the golf industry because the golf industry is unique. I think business in general, when business is good, business owners and operators tend to be a little bit complacent in their operations and just take the business as it's coming in. Do you see a return to that type of complacency, or do you see this as kind of being some standing, hey, we're going to have success that's driven because of this. We're going to have new operations and new processes and new ways of doing business, regardless of what the return is to, you know, now we can hug a guy on the 18th green versus, you know, having to wave at him from 10 feet away or whatever the case may be. What do you think may or may not happen in operations? Are we going to become sharper business people because of this?
I hope so. And to those that don't, I think they'll probably struggle. And for those operators that get it, I think it's a golden opportunity to take advantage of exactly what you just talked about. There's no question that our operations are going to change. Maybe there's a day where we can, you know, shake hands after we put out on 18, and maybe there isn't. Who knows? But I think we're all going to have to take a look at our own individual operations. There's not a one size fit all for any two facilities. As an example, we're finding that our customer touch points, the bag drop incoming after their round, where we would typically engage the customer, clean their clubs, a lot of those customers don't want that. They don't want that close human interaction. They don't want us touching their equipment. And so that staff member is still there. What role can they potentially play in that downtime? There, when you're talking about mobile check-in and all of this technology, let me break something to you guys. There's still about 25% of the people out there, they're not comfortable with the technology. And so for those that are comfortable with mobile check-in, great. But there's still the maybe the senior golfer or those that are a little less tech savvy like me, that isn't going to play that game. And so can that bag drop attendant who's not having to manage as many arrivals and management of golf bags, can they play a role in the check-in process? The answer is yes. You just got to figure out how that works. Is it a manual swipe and then that gets walked into the credit card machine and manually put in? Every operation is different. You're going to have to look at your own, but leverage technology. But I think there's also a human element in terms of the utilization of your staff that can be looked at.
I would have that kid potentially showing the senior golfer how to set up Apple Pay, you know. You know, one of the first things I did with my parents and my aunts and uncles that were shelter in place is, let's get you guys paying digitally. Don't ever pull out your credit card again. Here's Uber Eats. Here's, you know, grocery delivery. Here's Instacart. Like me as the, you know, middle-aged guy, I'm trying to push the technology to them. There's going to be a change on the operation side. So for those operations that didn't like the change, too bad, they've had to. Online res, you know, tap to pay, mobile check-in, you know, turning their cups upside down. Like they've had to change forcibly. The golfer base is also going to have to change. They're just going to have to. And if the guy comes in and pulls out a wad of like crumpled up dirty $20 bills, he's not going to be able to play that game at your golf course because you're putting your staff in danger. I don't know. What, just wipe your nose and touch $20 bills and you're going to hand them to me? Like, no way. Just, no way. And it's like, well, I could do that last week. That was last week. This is this week. And so both parties are going to have to change. And then I totally agree. The golf course can be the helpful agent of change, which is, you know what, just put that away. Show me your credit card. Okay. Now let me, as the cart kid, I'm not checking you in and cleaning your clubs anymore. Show me your credit card. All right, great. Double click your phone. I see you've got an iPhone or an Android. As long as you have that, let me just set you up with Apple Pay and mobile check-in. So it might be this training thing. And oh, by the way, they should use that when they go grocery shopping or go to Costco or go wherever. It's like, you know, you might be the first one to help them with that and help them through that. Or, hey, let me show you how to download our app. Here's the Westfields app. Well, I don't download apps. Got it. That was 2 weeks ago. Now we don't have carts with GPS in them. It was a thing you didn't do because you thought apps would track you and aliens brought them to your phone. Like that was previously, you know, held belief. But I'm gonna chip away at that 25%. Now, if the guy pulls out his flip phone and he pulls out a handful of dirty dollar bills, as a business owner and as an operator, you're gonna have to make a decision. You're gonna be reach an inflection point here where, all right, we're coming to Jesus. Who wins, me or him? And as a business owner, I think there's probably too much liability to just all of a sudden take a handful of dirty dollar bills and dirty 20s and then hand them back. What, I don't know where my staff is at. So if they're now handling change in return, I don't think those, we're going to have a conflict. So the better off we can resolve it, the better. So email reminders, email confirmations. Hey, if you've never set up a digital pay before, do mobile check-in, call the golf shop. We'll be happy to walk you through it, at all hours, because I'm not cleaning clubs anymore. I don't have a locker room attendant or, a range potentially. So I can put those people to work as Jason said, into other avenues to help bridge that gap, to help push that technology forward. Golf operations are going to change, but the golfer habit will have to change as well. And you're going to have to draw some lines in the sand, as will they, I'm sure.
That's interesting. If you extrapolate that beyond golf, my mom goes to the Apple Genius Bar all the time because she wants to learn the technology. And if we're going to turn the ranger station into a genius bar to upload your app and set up Apple Pay, I mean, it's interesting. Is that going to happen in the grocery store and everywhere else?
Yeah, I think it's in the email confirmation where it starts, which is, okay, the reserving golfer, and again, this isn't club profit specific. This is just, any system you have. The email confirmation goes out, and you're going to say, listen, you need to forward this to the other three golfers in your group, and here are the instructions. And basically, we are your Apple Genius Bar when it comes to downloading our app and getting yourself ready to go for prepay. And it's, not that you want to sit there and troubleshoot their phone, for 6 hours, but setting them up with some sort of digital payment or getting them comfortable with mobile check-in might just be what you do for the next 3 to 6 months. And by that time, everybody now is trained, and ultimately that's good for you because they've downloaded your app. That's one more download. They've enabled push notifications. Now you can market to them. They can check themselves in. So now you can upsell them and track their spending habits. So all of those things are ultimately good for you, but there is that short-term pain to get through. And I love the bag cleaning. The kid cleaning clubs, like, he's got an Apple phone. He knows how to set up Apple Pay and could do it with his eyes closed. Now you're gonna be our experts in doing this. So that way I can keep you over there and walk you through what you need and get you onto the golf course without touching anything that comes out of your pocket or your wallet.
Is there a way for that kid to get the $5 or $10 for cleaning the set, a tip without cash?
Without cash is interesting. They could send Apple Cash. Like, once you've set up with Apple Pay and you double click, I could send somebody something very easily. So it's love that. Yeah. I work on Apple Tips.
I mean, honestly, it's something too that at that stand, the golf course could just set up an iPad. And if it's a shared staff members that are in that role, that you'd be sharing maybe a bucket of tips or any place that tipping is going on or whatever, that people are able to tip to that Apple ID that is on that, and just get a flyer made, put it right there. You don't even have to have the iPad, really. Just have flyers or wherever things are at. Would you like to tip our staff without having to hand them cash? In other ways you did it, send it to this Apple ID through Apple Pay or whatever it might be that you might be doing it. So, and it could be on the club to divvy up the tips.
I would just say increase your price and you're able to still keep these, and you're building in that sort of cost to that, which is, all right, it's weird for me to like ask you for a tip and then we do Apple Pay and tip. It's like, just instead of 65, it's 70. And that includes,
And you market it that way then too. Yeah. You say specifically, hey, we're gratuity free now.
It includes
we've got the tips for you. Yeah.
But I mean, the other thing too for the kid is, listen, it's your job now. Like, you were cleaning clubs, so you were either going to be fired or you're going to do this next thing that I'm going to have you do for my operation, whether it's digital stuff or pre-check-in or whatever. Like, the normal person's going to think back to where you were. As soon as you come within my 6-foot circle, I'm thinking about where you've been. Where were you last night? Where were you 2 days ago? Where have you been the last 2 weeks? Right. And if those answers aren't very clear to me, like, just keep it over there. And that's going to be for a while, so, which is great, because golf, like, is awesome. Like, I've had people wanting to activate features where once a twosome's booked, don't allow another twosome to book. I get that. We've got that functionality. We've put it in there. But honestly, if I'm a twosome at the tee and there's another twosome coming in, there's really no other activity I would rather them do with me than golf. Like, I can keep way far away from you. I slice 100 yards right anyway. We're going to be fine. We'll get 10 yards distance and we'll still be able to play together and talk. I'd much rather be on the golf course with somebody than in a grocery store. You know, I've had people sidle up to me at the grocery store. I'm like, what are you doing? Get away from me.
As so, Rob knows, I'm usually in the woods by myself anyway.
Right. So again, golf can enjoy some stuff. I would tell you the other thing too, like from a demand standpoint, restaurants aren't opening anytime soon. And you know what Jay said about weddings, you know, if you are relying on weddings as the ultimate driver of your business, you're gonna have to flip it quick. And you know, the private club situations with, you know, member guests and members and that sort of stuff. So it's gonna be bad for you, but it's gonna be worse for other people that don't have the golf revenue to rely on. So a restaurant's not gonna be open, a sporting event is not gonna happen in 2020 with fans. You know, a movie theater is not going to be open. So you've got these things that were working against you before, and now you've got the advantage because you're an outdoor, socially distant activity.
I wanted to throw something at you guys. I read the other day about a couple of private clubs that had loosened the private restriction and were taking kind of public transient type people. Do you think that is just more marketing taking advantage of the opportunity, or really, Jason, you sort of tease this by creating other membership tranches? It's a way to kind of expand a population or a census group that you don't usually get at your course.
Sure. Well, I think any good private club operator right now is probably looking at ways to make their membership offerings as attractive as possible. And they should be. As I mentioned earlier, we have created weekly, monthly, quarterly membership programs to take advantage of the current situation. If the current situation gets extended, I think that we will continue to evolve. And I think that's probably the word that I would use and encourage all of the operators out there. You're going to have to evolve. And if you don't evolve, you probably won't be around a whole lot longer. There's a ton of technology, as we've spent the last 20 or so minutes talking about. There's operators such as myself, as Rob knows. I hired Gallus for a reason. I am not a techie, the more you can to leverage some of those technologies, I think the better. But use this high volume time to collect data, to introduce your facility to new customers that will hopefully become future customers as well. Look at your business model and be willing to adapt and evolve on a hourly, daily, weekly basis. And if you do that, I think on the back end of this, we'll hopefully be able to take advantage of some of the momentum that the game has had here over the last 6 or 8 weeks. Very encouraged to see people walking. We have gone from about 10% to about 75% walking. I am sure that as the world gets back to normal, that might adjust the back a little bit. But
I'm still fat. I've walked 25 miles in the last week, and I still weigh 210 pounds. I don't know what the hell's going on.
4 hours, you're not at the golf course, you're eating for 20 hours.
Son of a gun.
You know, one thing I found is I was certainly a believer in social media, not necessarily a believer in utilizing social media to drive revenues. Well, right now, that's all anybody has, right? They got their phone 20 or 16 hours a day, whatever it is. And so we're doing a lot of Instagram contests and actually getting people to engage in platforms that, honestly, 8 weeks ago, they weren't. So it's all great stuff to see.
Yeah, on the private side, I've seen a few, we've seen some new companies come up that are trying to digitize the caddy experience. You know, and these have been around for a year or two, but certainly when things get back to normal, like having a 16-year-old kid right next to you, giving him money, cash out of your pocket, having him wait around with 50 other caddies in a barn somewhere where they're close contact with other people, I would look for those things to be digitized very quickly so that it's more of an on-demand sort of service. Payment has happened digitally. And even though I am going to handle your bag, or maybe I'm driving the cart for you, or you know, I'm pushing the push cart for you, but then I don't, you know, I step away and touch it. So I would see that there's going to be some stuff there for the private clubs to deal with. And then, you know, being able to right size their expenses versus their membership dues if I'm taking away weddings, okay, great. How quickly can I modify that? And how quickly can I modify the world to become a takeout restaurant? Because I still think people are dining out a fair amount during this piece. And so we've, at our club, it's like, we've never done takeout. Well, now we're doing tons, you know, and 50 to 80 members a day are ordering takeout. So making that menu fresh and new and easy for a mom that's had four kids at home with four different grades and trying to teach them at home. It's like, just include the shots of tequila and the bottle of wine with it just for mom, and just say, you know, pull and slug, you know, when you're done teaching. Anything like that to kind of adjust to what's going on, and then also being able to like snap back, you know, should the restrictions come undone. So how do we react to testing and reduced restaurant capacity, and what does our restaurant look like? Don't wait for the governor to tell you that. Like, go through your own clubhouse and restaurant and measure stuff out and measure out the tables and figure these things out and come up with tests for your staff and come up with a policy so that every week, every server is being tested. So even if there's no tests available, like, this is what we're going to need to do, and then communicate to our customers and our members that we're doing, in order to not feel freaked out that my server is putting down food in front of me, you know? So I would just say, be able to prepare on both sides of that equation and, you know, digitize it wherever possible.
We've opened our driving range at 4 o'clock. We've set up a little tiki bar doing happy hour pricing, and it is absolutely amazing. We're doing about $2,000 a night, just wow, from wanting to get out of the house, have a few glasses of wine or a Heineken, and let the kids hit a few balls. If you're not having your instructors triple, quadruple your junior programs and start them immediately, you're crazy. Mm. Parents are looking for built-in daycare. So if you have a junior clinic, expand it immediately. I think you will be shocked. Obviously, the parents are going to want to know that you're providing a safe environment. Make sure that you're communicating all of the necessary safety precautions. If you do that, there's revenue to be had, just maybe not in the traditional streams that you're used to making it in.
But you're not competing with Little League. Little League might be done this summer. You're not competing with
summer camp.
No travel sports. So you might do Little League locally, but you're not going to any tournaments. You're not getting on a plane and going anywhere. And your vacations are probably toast. Getting on a plane and going to, like you said, a summer camp or going to a lake house, you know, those are going to be restricted. So yeah, tiki bar, you know,
that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
I think you just made a lot of courses, a lot of money with the tiki bar. We were going to do it anyway, but
if you're within a 5-mile radius of Clifton, Virginia, open a tiki bar right now. I'm kidding. Well, very good. Thanks, guys, so much for joining us here. Again, Jason Paul from Westfields Golf Club in Clifton, Virginia, right in the D.C. area. Scott Merchant at home in Chicago, but with Club Profit Systems. Thanks so much. Scott's got over the shoulder there. That's fantastic.
That's
the cat. That's the bouncer. Very cool. Well, again, guys, thanks. Thanks for making this first episode a good one. Coming from us in coming episodes, we're going to be talking to apparel companies, equipment manufacturers, other golf courses, other technology companies. We're going to have a little bit of everybody in the mix with coming episodes of the Golf Industry Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Kyle, I'll let you sign off here as well, please.
Yeah, on behalf of the Golf Wire, appreciate everybody tuning in, and we'll see you next time.